even more pups than last year. And we think some of that is attributable to that supplemental feeding.
Taylor says, while the news of the increase in marmots is exciting, he says there's still a lot of work to be done to continue to secure the current number and continue to grow.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but there is a part, I think, of us that is always waiting for the next shoe to drop. The population is still small. And we have had some luck over the past 2 years that is totally out of our control. So the weather the last two summers has been pretty much perfect for marmots. Unfortunately, that weather is, I mean, it's out of our control. And we know that not every year is going to be a good year. So, you know, there's this feeling of this, you know, it's really, really incredible to see the population grow, and it's really important too, because the next time we do have a bad weather year, whether it's heavy snow in the spring or a drought during the summer, or you know, whatever it is, you know, this provides that buffer for the marmots to absorb that hit, right? Because there will be a hit to the population when that happens.
But Taylor says there is still hope the marmots will again thrive on Vancouver Island.
I think it's really important for us to remind people that we can and are having a positive impact on species at risk. And the marmot, I think, is a classic example of that. Unfortunately, those examples are really rare. And in the world, over the past 30 years, there are roughly 14 to 16 mammal species that we can say conservation action has prevented that species extinction. And in Canada, there's only one, and that's the Vancouver Island marmot.
More information about the Vancouver Island marmots and how to donate to recovery efforts can be found on the Marmot Recovery Foundation website at marmots.org. For CHY News, this is Lauren McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs podcast, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
Once again, thank you to CHLY in Nanaimo, as well as Lauren McKenzie, for that really informative piece. Before we get into the next talk portion of this hour, I just want to talk about one thing that always excites me at the beginning of the year is pondering and thinking about what albums are going to be topping the charts this year here at CJSF 90.1 FM. And speaking of, I would like to play a song from an album from a band that certainly topped the charts last year in 2025. Exciting to see where things go, and excited to play all new music for all of you throughout the next year. But until then, here is Blue Blazer by Self Care.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
This is Free Voices at CJSF 90.1 FM, talking to you about
Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. We are 10 board of directors and we are rejoicing for world history. Our show is based on true stories, musical and storytelling and role playing, silent crimes broken, very interesting series of show.
And a lot of in-depth oral tradition. We play every Thursday from 3 to 4. Come and join us.
Once again, we are back with Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. This has been your host, Danny Nezvedarani, for the hour. And for this next talk portion of the hour, we're going to be moving things up north to Smithers, BC. From CICK News at CICK 93.9 up in Smithers, with their LGI journalist Pamela Hassan, who took a trip to Hazleton earlier this year and had a ride-along on the Logs Book Bus, a mobile literacy program operated by the Learners Opportunity Group Society, also known as Logs. And founded in 2000, they promote literacy across the region through free community-based programs, with the Book Bus bringing books directly to people within the area for absolutely free. Without further ado, here is that piece.
Last week, I traveled to Hazleton to ride around on the Logs Book Bus. Logs is an acronym that stands for the Learners Opportunity Group Society, which promotes literacy throughout the region through various programs, including the Book Bus, which brings free books to communities in the Hazleton area from Kispiox to Gitignau. I spent the day riding with Ted Wall, the latest Book Bus driver in a long line of drivers. At around noon last Thursday, we pulled up to Rocheview Lodge in Hazleton, and we are here to meet one of Ted's regulars, a man named Glenn.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Oh, there he is.
Oh.
I saw you pull up here.
I wait for you. How are you today, Glenn?
I got a few goodies for me. That. I need the bag, but
I'll give you the bag back right away.
How are you? Hi, I'm Pam.
Oh.
Nice to meet you. And so I'm doing a story on Ted, so I'm following him around.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's good.
Yeah? Okay.
He comes to my door. And blows the horn because I'm about the only customer here. That's good, eh? Did you get rid of all them books down there? Oh, I've got picked out two already I haven't read.
Right on. Well, here's another four or five there. You can have a boo at. I don't know if you've read these or not.
I'll have a look.
There's
good, thank you.
Sir.
You make sure this guy makes the rounds good, eh?
Will do. I'll keep him on task.
Good.
Yeah, that's right.
My schedule.
So, Glenn, do you mind if I ask, what do you get out of the Book Bus?
Well, the Book Bus?
Yeah.
He's very prompt.
Okay.
He comes, and he's very accommodating. Now, he comes to my door, and he puts that button.
Yeah.
So in case I'm eating or something.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's very good.
Yep.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's quite a library down there.
Yeah.
That's one of our stops.
So there is.
Okay, yeah.
There's quite a library. And I've been in there before, but the Book Bus comes straight to my door.
Mm-hmm. And so you...
Yeah.
How many books do you read in a week?
All depends if there's no hockey.
Okay. So let's say a hockey-less week. How much do you read in a hockey-less week?
There's hockey every day.
Okay. You'll find it if you're looking for it.
Oh, yeah. I got a good TV, and I've watched lots of hockey.
Uh-huh. Ted has become friends with his clientele, all who look forward to the days that he shows up to help them find what they're looking for. And in the case of Glenn here, it's Westerns.
Well, that's enough today. I took two big shopping bags home from down there, you know.
Yeah.
Which I haven't touched yet.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, eh?
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, it's good to meet you, eh?
Good to meet you.
No, we get... He gives good service, 100%.
Yep, that's what it seems so far.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
No more customers but me here today. There's not many readers up here.
Yeah.
It's good last time.
Yeah.
If you've got nothing else to do.
That's right.
I'm busy.
Yeah. You got hockey.
I do. Well, glad you've come, eh?
Well, thank you, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn. Nice to meet you.
Next on the list is to go to fill the little library in Allen Park and then on to the credit union where people have dropped off boxes of books for the bus.
Ooh, perfect fit.
Not my first rodeo.
How are you today?
Pretty good. What about you?
Well, I'm all right. Depends on all right.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
Okay, I'm going to wait till the end of the day.
Yeah.
Okay. And I can put it inside because it's my last run for today.
Okay.
Last run this week until Sunday, so that will give me time to haul it down to the warehouse. Okay, sorry. Wow, been busy, hey?
The Learners Opportunity Group Society formed back in the year 2000 as an adult literacy research outreach program when one of Hazleton's largest employers, the Carnaby Sawmill, shut down. One of the main functions of this program was to enhance literacy skills among the recently unemployed workers, some of whom had only ever worked in a sawmill and required tutoring to update their resumes as well as reading skills for new areas of work. Hence, the Learner Opportunities Group Society's acronym, LOGS. The book bus is one function of LOGS, which also maintains the little libraries, book bags for babies, the Christmas Gift of Literacy program, which gifts every child in school a wrapped book chosen just for them at Christmas time, and other community events. The book bus was the brainchild of Dave Jones, a school teacher at Gitsagukla Elementary who, along with a handful of volunteers, ran the first iteration of the book bus about 25 years ago, according to Hazleton Public Assistant Librarian and local history buff Ruth Cooper. The book bus has a storied past, and Ted is the latest installment to maintain the goal to offer free books to everyone, no strings attached. Here we are at the Red Apple parking lot, helping a woman who works in the laundromat stock up magazines and books for kids while their parents do laundry.
I need children's books and adult magazines for the laundromat.
Well, children's books, you come on here and I'll let you do it.
Thank you very much. I grabbed a few.
How many? That's all I need to know. Three?
Three.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
We go next to the library, where I get a full tour from Ruth Cooper, assistant librarian.
Hi, Ruthie.
Hi.
Oh,
I
brought you some company for a few minutes.
I'm following you and Ted for a story for the news.
Set up the bus, and you guys.
Right on. Well, wait. I'm going to give you a box.
I can fit that in. No problem.
It's library and museum. That in
yep.
is the Pioneer Museum run by the Hazleton Area mm-hmm. Historical Association, which we lovingly call HAHA. And this side's the library.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful building.
Would you like a tour?
Word to the wise. If you're at the Hazleton Library and Ruth offers you a tour, you take it.
Okay. I'll give you the whole meal deal.
Okay.
So here's our plot. It's called the Riverside Complex, and It was to be opened in 1990. And at that time, there, you know, the Del Monte cases were fresh and there was a lot of stuff going on. And our MLA at the time was supposed to open this building. But there had been some severe protests about logging and access to native lands and things like that. And he got hung in effigy off the Hagelgett Bridge. And then a couple months later, when he was scheduled to come and open this building, he wouldn't come.
Ruth and her late husband, Dusty, were two of the previous book bus drivers. She possesses something a little magical in the way she knows every inch of the space she inhabits as assistant librarian. Ruth is a wonderful tour guide, but what shines brightest is her love of the place she lives and her passion for educational tools made as accessible as possible for the people of her community.
Mm-hmm. This is a reference collection. We're really proud of this collection. And the cabinet, one of our young men that graduated here and then he went to BCIT and did all his woodworking stuff, and he came back and built this cabinet for us so he could showcase his talents to our local community. And it is just lovely. You know, it's so smooth, you know, carved out, so well done. The big birch tables are all made out of locally milled birch from Zinza's Mill, and Bud Lorenzen put them together. All of the artwork, the loose carving, Carol Chasins did that. She's an amazing woodworker. Another really cool thing is in our story corner here. We had a group of, Wanda, again, the same gal that did the mural that I just pointed out to you, and a volunteer who was an artist. And they got a group of kids together. The youngest was 9, the oldest was 12. So the way it went, it was a Saturday, and pulled about 100 books off the shelves and let the kids pick the images that they liked the best. Mm-hmm. And then Karen and Wanda gave the kids chalk and encouraged them to draw the pictures on the wall. Then they outlined everything in black paint. You know, I'm doing is running around with sheets of plastic covering things up, saying, oh dear, what's happening? They painted it all. And then when they had it all outlined, Wanda and Karen would show them a few techniques. We're pretty proud of this little section here.
Ruth took me to the youth section upstairs on a balcony that overlooks the rest of the library, which is a small but mighty space that feels a lot like being on a boat as the Skeena River rages just outside of the window.
And this is just a quiet reading space back there?
Yeah, this is our reading nook. If you stand right here, though, don't you feel like you're on a BC ferry?
You certainly do.
I hopped back in the van after my Hazleton Library and Museum tour for the last couple of stops on Ted's schedule. To look at Ted, you might not suspect him of being the typical book bus type, whatever that means. He wears a Knight Rider LED lights jacket and ball cap, has a big bushy beard, and looks like he belongs on a job site with boots caked in dirt, directing heavy machinery. But that's not too far from his past before the book bus. He worked as a police officer for 5 years in the 70s, then a heavy-duty mechanic, worked in a Newfoundland gold mine, and then Manitoba, mined for gold and uranium in Saskatoon and diamonds in the Arctic. Ted professed that he's been through a lot of holes in the ground in this country.
So were you kind of like when you were working kind of more like in industry, were you like rough and tumble? Like, do you feel like you're sort of, I don't know, maybe calmer? Or like, yeah, do you think that your jobs kind of dictate your personality? Because here, I mean, I see you're always holding your hand for someone if they're walking down the steps and that sort of stuff. So
I guess I like to think of myself as a very outgoing person. So, I don't know. I guess I've always been a people person.
On our second last stop of the day at the Upper Skeena Recreation Center, the rain started to come. The place looked deserted, but across the parking lot, two teenage girls were waiting under a shelter for the book bus to arrive.
How are you today? Come to look for a book?
Yes.
I'm home.
My day is going very well, thank you.
Do you love books, or is it...
Oh, I like books.
Yeah.
I was a ferocious reader when I was a kid.
Yeah.
The Hardy Boys and I did everything together. Now I set up here for about 15 minutes.
Okay.
Maybe Sandy will be along. He's another one of my regulars, likes the Westerns too.
Yeah.
Between him and Glenn.
Back at the Allen Park parking lot, before we departed for the day, I got to spend time with Ted as he interacted with yet another one of his regulars.
Hey, Sandy, how are you today, sir? You got some stuff for me?
Some of these I think I read before, but...
Might be worth a reread.
I can't really tell until I get in the book and I don't have my glasses with me. Actually, I can read these in certain light. I can read these really good, but...
You got your bag there?
Oh, yeah. And I got one more at home there that... If I'd had it ready in time, I'd have brought it up to you. But
that's okay. You know where I'll be.
Thank you very much to Ted Wall for taking the time to drive me around with him last Thursday in Hazleton and for me to get a closer look at exactly what the book bus does.
Thank you again to Pamela Hassan and CICK up in Smithers, BC for that lovely piece about the book bus. And coming up next and coming up last, we're going to be playing a piece that I produced a good few months ago, but is something that I consider to be relevant because it has to do with none other than Nardwar the Human Serviette, who very recently, just earlier this year, or was it the end of last year? Either way, was appointed to the Order of Canada, which is a pretty big deal, a pretty big honor, and something that he expressed as being a pretty big deal and a pretty big honor. And we were actually able to speak with him for a little bit at his Video Vault event earlier this year. Here is that piece. Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. Nardwar, the Human Serviette, has been a fixture of the Vancouver arts and music scene for over three decades. Getting a start at UBC's campus community radio station, CITR, in 1987, he's since become one of the most well-known names in music journalism. Interviewing artists and bands from Nirvana all the way to Pharrell and Sabrina Carpenter. On November 13th, the Hollywood Theater hosted Nardwar's Video Vault, a public event where Nardwar gave a talk on his career achievements, as well as his love for CITR and community radio.
And the purpose of CITR is to expose people to thoughts and ideas that they haven't heard before. There's nothing wrong with the common information that's out there, but why would Kirchner take that back? Try to provide something extra. At CITR, you're not a DJ. A DJ is told what to do. At CITR, you're a writer, you're an operator, you're a producer. You're in total control of what's going on. Especially now with independent media, the power is in your pocket to create. It's absolutely amazing.
Throughout the event, Nardwar passionately spoke on his prolific career as a music journalist, including some insights on his interview process.
Yeah, that's how hard it was to get your interviews out there. Yeah. Now, the power is in your pocket, but I had to record interviews on CITR on cassette, then dump it to Realtrail, and then press the vinyl, and then mail the vinyl records we pressed, and then get the records back, and then mail out the records to various community campus radio stations to get my interviews out there. It was so hard. Now it's like completely easy to be able to get your stuff out there. And I also noticed my mom mentioned the library. She went to the library. She went to the library to research. It's like pretty obvious to actually do something. But that is how hard it is to get your music out there a long time ago.
He also spoke on some of the failures he's experienced throughout his career as well.
This is a letter we got back from The Late Show. Dear Nardwar, thank you for sending us the videotapes and clippings regarding your show, Nardwar the Human Serviette. We have discussed it at a recent talent meeting, and unfortunately, do not feel it is right for our show. Thanks for thinking of The Late Show and take the time to write. And this is the part that hurt the most. Enclosed, please find the tape you sent us. Ah! I thought, okay, I'm rejected. But at least I'll keep the tape for like Christmas parties. But they sent me back the actual tape. I was like, oh my God, so depressed. I thought this would like lead to MTV. And look at the date, March the 25th.
After the talk portion of the event, a surprise concert with Nardwar's longtime band, The Evaporators, commenced. Once the event ended, we were able to speak briefly with Nardwar, where we received this as a gift.
Hi, it's Nardwar, the human serviette saying, you're listening to CJSF Burnaby and do-do-loo-do CJSF. Yeah.
This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. Once again, that was our piece with Nardwar the Human Serviette. Coming up in a few seconds is Democracy Now!